First of all, blessed are the merciful, because to be merciful means to show mercy to those in need. Mercy is not just an emotion, it is practical action. Mercy is what God does. 1 John 3:17, if anybody has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Mercy is about God's love residing in us. Little children, let's not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. How do you react when somebody's in need? Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 10. After he told people to love their neighbor, there was a legalist that said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the classic story. He said, well, it's like this man who's going down that dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he gets mugged. He gets beaten, robbed, left for dead. But a priest is coming along, and the priest can't miss the guy, but he just walks by. Doesn't do anything. And then a scholar who really knows the Bible, Old Testament, so well, he, again, can't miss the guy, but he just keeps moving by too. Jesus says, then a Samaritan came by, and on his journey, he came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. If we aren't going to understand the mercy of God, we need to understand there are three dimensions that we see of mercy expressed to those in need. And the first is, you see the need. If you have your Bibles open, underline, saw in compassion. You see and you feel compassion. So often the difference between people who are merciful and not merciful is just, do you have eyes to see? One writer tells of a time when she was waiting for a flight in an airport. She said she was reading a novel and preoccupied, really trying to just shut out the hubbub around her. She said, a voice next to me that belonged to an elderly woman spoke. I'll bet it's cold in Chicago, she said. Stone face, I replied, it's likely. I haven't been to Chicago in 3 years, she persisted. My son lives there. That's nice, I said, my eyes still fixed on my book. My husband's body is on this plane. We were married for 53 years. The writer continues, I don't think I ever detested myself more than I did at that moment. Another human being was screaming to be heard, and in desperation had turned to a cold stranger who was more interested in a novel than in the real-life drama unfolding at her elbow. The woman talked numbly and steadily as we boarded the plane. Then she found her seat in another section, and as I hung up my coat, I overheard her plaintive voice appealing to the companion in the seat next to her. I'll bet it's cold in Chicago. The first question of mercy is, do you see the people around you who need mercy? I think if we saw blood-drenched people out here in the end zone writhing in pain, we would probably stop. But the challenge for us is, so often hurting people, needy people, are not so obvious in their need. I think it's a mistake for us to imagine the priest and the Levite as walking on the other side of the road because they're just not nice people, as though somehow their hearts are colder than ours. I'm guessing they were actually much like we are. They were hurried. They had an agenda. Maybe they were worried of what would happen if they stopped and showed compassion. So the first challenge for us is, if we're going to be merciful, is do you see the people around you who are hurting? Do you see the people in your neighborhood who are struggling to make ends meet because they have started a new family? Do you see the marriage that's hurting? Do you see the people who have impressive titles, living in impressive houses with their 1.5 children and their dog and maybe even a cat or two. You know, there's over 1 million abortions performed every year in the United States. And there will be people this year who spend a lot of time, who actually campaign to make sure those abortions stay plentiful. And Christians walk on the other side of the road because they have other agendas, you see. Not because we're bad people, it's just we don't see to care. Eyes to see, a heart that has compassion. And Jesus continues, this good Samaritan, he went over to him and bandaged his wounds, poured out olive oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Mercy takes responsibility. One preacher observed that there are three types of people in this story that Jesus tells. There's the beater-upper. That's the person who looks and says, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. There is the passer-upper. That's the person who says, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. It's my time. It's my money. Then there's the picker-upper. Those who see the need and say, what's mine is yours. I'm going to help. Are you ready to walk from this place today to pick up those who are knocked down? Maybe today on Mother's Day, it's somebody who's grieving the loss of a mom or a broken relationship with a mom. Maybe it's an elderly person who needs care. When you donate, when you give to New Life, do you understand? We help the people in need. Sometimes people feel like, I pay my taxes, therefore I help. No, no, no. God did not create the government. There's no place in the New Testament that says the government is created to help people in need. It says the church helps people in need in the name of Christ. So Christ is lifted up. You are his hands and feet. So when you give to the church, you help the needy. When you pray with somebody, when was the last time you offered somebody, you're sitting in that airport with that woman, and you know the woman beside, what if you would just say, hey, how can I pray for you? You have no idea the people in need around you that you'll discover if you just offer to pray and share Jesus. I love that old story of the wealthy woman, true story, middle-aged woman, had a comfortable life, and heard about the work that Mother Teresa was doing with the poor and the needy, the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. Her heart was so moved to compassion. She really wanted to help. And so she wrote a letter to Mother Teresa saying, I'd love to come help. Can I come serve the needy with you in Calcutta? Mother Teresa's response was direct and clear. She said, I received your letter wanting to help in India. Thank you for wanting to serve here, but go and find your own Calcutta. Isn't that good? So I'm thinking, I'd help the poor if I could just go on a trip to Haiti. No, there's a Haiti around you and me right now. Will you look for your Calcutta? I had a friend say recently, as we were talking about this message, he said, you know what? I find it easier to show mercy to strangers than to people that I love the most. Maybe there's somebody that you love who needs mercy today.